This evening, it is a real joy to return to the book of the Song of Solomon. Let's return to the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 3. We'll be taking up the first five verses, and the title for the message this evening is, What If Christ Is Difficult to Find? And so let us hear from the word of the Lord, Song of Solomon 3, 1-5. By night on my bed I sought him, who my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, Saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. Once again in the book, the Song of Solomon, we're presented with stirring and somewhat mysterious words that convey to us what we know is an exquisite meeting, something profound, something delightful. And allow me to suggest that this is the same for any passage in the Song of Solomon. That our understanding of the weight and the significance of these passages, they're in proportion to our experience of walking with Christ ourselves. It's in proportion of our own journeying and fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ that we will glean the depth and the weight that is here. There are new and immature believers that will be able to glean certain things from passages like this, of course. They'll be able to identify certain things in small measure. But there will also be more seasoned and more mature believers who will hear these things and these descriptions and they will nod their heads and they will say, yes. Yes, it is just that way with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have had my restless searchings in the nighttime for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have had difficulty in locating the Lord Jesus Christ. I have had little help from those who were supposed to help, who could have helped. I've had little help from them. And yet when my soul found Christ at last, how I rejoiced. How I clung to him, and I would not let him go. And so our understanding of these things, it will be in proportion to our experience, but with the Lord's help, we'll bring these things forth. In chapter 3, it's not difficult to summarize the passage on the surface level. It's not hard. There's a woman. She speaks of a restless night. She's tossing, she's turning. She can't find her beloved. She can't stop thinking about her beloved, and so she rises up and she searches for him. She searches for him in the city. She searches for him in the broad ways. She asks the watchmen for assistance, and they don't help her whatsoever. But then when she finds him, when she finds the one whom her soul loveth, she holds on to him. She will not let him go. She brings him into her family home. And jealously guards her time with him. And so it's not hard to summarize this passage, but within the frame of this, there are rich truths about following Christ, about what it means when we are at a loss to locate the Lord Jesus Christ in our own experience. And so we'll cover this account under three headings. First, restless searching in the night for Christ. Second, difficulties and hardship in the search for Christ. And then third, finding Christ at last and clinging to Him by faith. And so there are things in this passage, as I said, that will be relatable to those who have only recently come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are other things that will be brought forth to those who have had a more seasoned time, a longer time of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll think through our own experience and the experience of others that we've heard. And we'll end up asking ourselves a question from the text. What about the times? What about the times when it is difficult to find Christ? What if it is not simple to find the Lord Jesus Christ and to return to the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we'll begin with this first heading in the first verses, restless searching in the night for Christ. The first opening verse here deals with this restless searching, this tossing and turning. Verse 1, by night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I sought Him, but I found Him not. And so the passage begins in the beginning, in the middle of the night, and the bride is restless and she's preoccupied with something. She knows that things are not as they should be. She senses a lack. She senses a void. She knows that something's missing. Sleep will not come to her. And she cannot stop her thoughts. Where is her beloved? Why is He not near? Why can she not sense Him near? She can't be at rest. She can't turn off these thoughts. What does night in the Song of Solomon indicate to us? It could be indicating to us a time of adversity, a time of trial that the bride is going through. It could be a time of hardship, a valley that she's walking through and she doesn't sense the Lord Jesus Christ. Or else, night in the Song of Solomon, it could be describing a time of partial knowledge. Remembering that the book of the Song of Solomon is written in the time before the appearing of Christ. And so it could be speaking to us of partial knowledge. And we ponder the meaning here a bit. We remember that the sight of Christ, for the Old Testament believers, it was partial. It was dim. And the bride, she's already described this back in chapter 2, and she said that she has seen her beloved. However, it is as if He has been seen standing behind a wall. And so there's a partial sight, a dim sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here she is, she's saying, it's night. And I'm unable to see, unable to sense the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, her beloved. Unable to stop thinking about Him. Wanting to see Him more clearly. Wanting to know Him more truly. And so as we ponder these things and think about the point of reference that the book is written from, we could say that there is a partial vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's waiting for the dawn of the gospel day. She's waiting for the Son of Righteousness to appear. As John the Baptist said when he quoted the prophet Isaiah, he said, the people which sat in darkness have seen a great light. And so this is her. Paul, he also speaks of these things. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. And so we begin to understand her position, the bride's position, the ancient church saying it's as if it's night. I'm unable to fully see the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we could also bring it to the personal level, to ourselves. If we could think back to a time when we had only a partial view of the Lord Jesus Christ in our own life, when we had only glimpses of Him, when we had only hearsay about the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard about Him, we did not know Him for ourselves. And we could say of our own selves, in times past, we could have said, by night, I'm restless, I'm unable to grasp these things that have been spoken of about the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't identify with them. And so we can bring it to the personal level. Some have had the experience of searching for Christ and searching for assurance for years, for decades. Some have had this experience. They have some inkling that they are in Christ and that they are born again. Yet for some, they have very little assurance, if any. They can't bring themselves to be persuaded of their assurance. These are ones that are like those that are like the bride, restless in the night, searching in the night, yearning for Christ's presence to fill them. Some have had a different kind of experience. They've known Christ. They've walked with Christ. Yet, over time, Christ has been gradually pushed over to the sidelines of their lives. They have done this through lack of care. They've done this through foolishness. They've let the fields go uncared for. And Christ is not forefront in the life. Prayer is inconsistent. Worship falls away by the wayside. And then Christ withdraws. And then one night, the person realizes, where is Christ? What have I done? How have I let this happen? Where is the presence of Christ? Why have I been so foolish? I dare say many of us have had this very experience at times in our lives. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. It's more common than we'd like to admit. And we're distracted by so many things in this world, and we begin to feel self-sufficient. And we begin to feel that we can keep ourselves from falling. And we begin to feel relatively secure and relatively holy of our own selves. Even though these are lies, even though these are not true, we begin to think this way. And then what happens? Christ withdraws. And then there's nighttime. And there's restlessness. And whether we admit it or not, we're tossing and returning. And we're saying, how could I have let this happen? It's not as it used to be. It's not as it was before with the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I thinking? And so this is another personal experience that we can identify here. Sleepless nights. Where is Christ? Where is the comfort of His presence? It's not as it was. It's not as it was before. Well, we can take heart from this passage, if that's us this evening, if we've been guilty of that, we can take heart because we can do what the bride does. We can follow in her footsteps. We can rise up again and search for the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must understand, it may not be easy. It may be with difficulty that we find the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to our second heading, difficulties, hardships in the search. Is the search for Christ ever easy? Well, sometimes it is. What does Christ say? We read it earlier, Matthew 7. Ask, seek, and knock. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. There's a progression there. But sometimes it may be easy for us to regain that close connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, when he preaches to the men in Athens, he says, telling them about the Lord, though he be not far from every one of us. And so sometimes it could be easy. Sometimes Christ reveals himself very easily to those who seek after him, who go searching for him. It's very easy for some, but that is not the normal case, is it? And that's not what we're presented with in this passage from the Song of Solomon. Here's what we see in verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I sought him, but I found him not. It wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. So look at the extent of the search. Boys and girls, was it a brief search, or was it an extended search? Was it over quickly, or did it take effort and time, First, she went looking in the city streets, the streets and the alleys around Jerusalem. What does this signify? How could this be? What can this relate to? Well, it would be the church. It would be the household of God, the city of Jerusalem standing in for the household of God. And so what does she do? She looks for the Lord Jesus Christ in the regular ordinances of the church. It's worship. It's ordinances. She's hoping to find him there. She knows that he inhabits the church. And so she's hoping to find him. But she doesn't. It says she doesn't find him there in the streets of Jerusalem, standing in for the church. Now, this is a warning for us. If we think that we can regain connection and union and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ by being in the church only, as if we could gain the Lord Jesus Christ by osmosis, by showing up at church, by attending and listening and letting the minister bring the Lord Jesus Christ. Just let the minister do it. Let the praises bring forth the thoughts of Christ. Let it just happen automatically. If we thought that was the case, we're proven wrong right here. It can't happen automatically. This attitude is backwards. It's not supposed to be like this. It's not that we are to come to the ordinances seeking and searching so much as we're supposed to come to the ordinances worshiping and praising and giving and bringing a offering of praise. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad idea to attend the ordinances of God as we are searching. It's not a bad idea. Only that it's not automatic. It's not always the case that whoever comes in the doors and sits and listens will find and lay hold of Christ. It's not like that. We must take this into account. It's not like that in our passage. And so we must take this into account. The preaching, it's a powerful tool in the hands of the Lord, but it's not automatic. It's not automatic that whoever would come, whoever would open their ears and listen, that they would also lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, reestablishing connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Though this is certainly what we could pray for it, we could search for it, but it's not automatic. We must keep this in mind. Second, it says that she went out into the broadways. She went to the highways in and around Jerusalem. So what does this signify? If the streets were the church, the ordinances of God, the broadways, the highways, what does this signify? Well, you could think of different places around Jerusalem, the broadways, where the people would come together to gather on their high festival days, where the multitudes would come out. It's not just the regular ordinances, it's those high and glorious ordinances that the Lord provided for his people. The broadways, where there would be much people and much excitement about the things of the Lord. There would be much praises. And so we're seeing the bride searching in these places where she's had these memorable experiences, where she's had these sort of mountaintop experiences, places where there had been great celebration, great worship and magnifying of the Lord. Surely she could find Christ there. Surely she could recreate something of what she's experienced in her memories if she goes to these places. If the circumstances are similar, she thinks she can recreate what's happened in the past. Now, this is also a temptation for us. When we think of our own experience and we look back at different times in our lives, when we were riding high with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know it's not like that now, and so we say, well, what if I could recreate that circumstance? What if I could be in this place or with these people? I could recreate it. I could retrace my steps based on some past experience. And then I would find the Lord Jesus Christ a second time. But we know it doesn't work like that. No, it doesn't work like that. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ has a mind and a will of his own. He's not a customer service representative. He doesn't work for the city government where you can call him up and he comes running. Just because we have retraced our steps and tried to recreate various circumstances, it doesn't mean that the Lord is obligated to do as he's done before. Do you understand that? Later in chapter 5, we'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll knock at the door of the bride. And then what will he do? He'll decide not to stay long enough for the bride to rise and go and open the door. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has a mind and a will all of his own. And he does as he pleases. He will lead the church with wisdom, with grace, yet he will lead the church with compassion, with understanding, yet he will lead the church. And so the bride does not find him in the broad ways. There's one more further difficulty noted here before we move on. We find it in verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Who are these watchmen? And are they of any help? Well, the understanding has been that if the city is the ancient church of God, the watchmen would be none other than the ministers of that ancient church. The ministers, the priests, the Levites. And they were to be as the watchmen for Israel. And so naturally, the bride has looked here, she's looked there, she's out of ideas, and so what does she do? She goes to the ministers of the church and she asks, have you seen the one that my soul loveth? But do they help her? Boys and girls, do they help her? They answer her not a word. They are of no help. So what does this signify to us? This is a devastating commentary on the widespread ignorance of the ministers of that ancient church. It's devastating that they who were charged to study the scriptures, they were charged to know the law, they were charged to carry out their duties in the temple, they were charged to minister in every place and read the scripture and counsel and exhort according to the scripture. But when the bride comes and asks them a very simple question, have you seen Christ? There's no answer. There's no help. I could preach an entire other sermon on the dangers, the tragedy of ministers who are unconverted, who don't know Christ, who are ignorant. But for now, I'll just bring up one point. One point. Going to a minister for guidance in your seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're seeking after closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's generally a very good idea. It's generally quite a good idea, but bear in mind one thing. They may not know how to help you. They may not know what to say to you. They may fail you. That's the only point I'm going to bring forth from here. They may fail you. The minister is a gift and an excellent guide in many cases, but bear in mind, they can't do it for you. They can't venture upon the Lord Jesus Christ for you. They can do their best. They can instruct. They can guide. They can encourage. They can counsel. But they can't guarantee anything. Keep that in mind. Each of us must venture alone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that, boys and girls. Each of us must venture alone to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will draw as he pleases. Which brings us to the final section, the final portion here, the third heading, finding Christ at last and clinging to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. The last portion of our passage, it resolves the passage. We see the bride finally finding her beloved. After passing from here, from there, to the watchman, finding no help, what do we read in verse 4? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. This is a beautiful, a glorious description of laying hold of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, of communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. She holds him, she clings to him with all her might. And then what does she do? She brings him right into her family home, the place where she was raised, to the place that's shut off from the rest of the world. She brings him to the family home, even to the room in which her mother slept, her mother's chamber. Now, what does all this mean to us? When Christ is found, when we lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we say, welcome. Nothing is held back from the Lord Jesus Christ. All is His. That's what this means. Children, if you had a friend over to your house, you might want to show them things in your house. You might want to show them your room. You might want to show them your things. You might even want to show them places in your house where you like to play. But boys and girls, I hope you would never show them your mother and father's bedroom. I hope you would not do that. Why? Why do I say that? Because it's a private area of the house. It's a secluded area of the house. It's like a secret place for your parents only. Isn't that right? Yet, there are secret places like this in our hearts. There are private, shut-off places like this in our souls. And this is where the bride says to come, to the Lord Jesus Christ. When she finds him, she says, welcome, welcome, come in. Nothing is held back. Nothing is restricted. All is open. Come in, Lord Jesus Christ. This is the meaning here. Now, there's been some debate in the church, maybe in the last few decades, about this phrase. You might have heard it in different churches. It's this one: ask Jesus into your heart. Ask Jesus into your heart. It's become a bit controversial because there are some, well, it seems as if there are some strong Arminian overtones here. Man-centeredness. You do it. You ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. As if there was some kind of election going on and you have the deciding vote. And if you vote yes, then you ask the Lord Jesus Christ and in he comes. And so there's some Arminian overtones to that. And the phrase is inadequate. It doesn't deal with the many cases in which the Lord Jesus Christ conquers the heart and storms the heart. And there's a subjection that takes place. It doesn't deal with any of that. So it's inadequate. There are some Arminian overtones here. But in light of the song that we're studying, in light of the way the bride says to the Lord, in, welcome to the chamber of my mother, we see that there is a place where ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. There is a place for it. But with qualifications. You see, ask Jesus into your heart. It's not for the wandering and the searching one, is it? It's not for the one who is far off and wandering to say, to ask Jesus into their heart. It's for the one who has laid hold of the Lord. It's for the one who has found Christ to throw open the doors and say, all is yours. Come in, come in. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. My heart is open to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this section, it ends, the final verse in this section is a plea. We've read the same plea before in the Song of Solomon. It's a plea that the Lord Jesus Christ would be undisturbed and that he would not withdraw due to distraction. Verse 5, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he pleases. And so we've seen this earlier in the song. It's a plea. It's born out of jealously guarding communion and time with the Lord Jesus Christ. She's just found him. She's just welcomed him into her home, into the private place. And she says, don't disturb. Don't do anything to disrupt my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it could be over like that. One distraction. By the roes and by the hinds, we know that these are timid animals. We know that they run at the first sign of any trouble. And so she says, let nothing disturb my quiet repose with the Lord Jesus Christ, jealously guarding that time. Well, we have followed the bride as she's gone from this restless tossing and turning during the night. And she's gone out into the city, into the broad ways. She's been searching for Christ. And we've seen that there's been difficulty in it. It wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. In fact, it was extended. And yet she persisted. And then we've seen the elation of finding the Lord Jesus Christ and what comes of that. And so I would ask, where are you this evening? At which stage are you this evening? Are you like the restless one? Are you still tossing and turning in the night, unsure what happened to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Are you unable to rest because you're unsure? What have I done? What have I done? How could I have let this happen? How did I let my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ fall through the cracks of my fingers by disregard for the Lord Jesus Christ and by not keeping the garden, as the bride has said earlier in the song? Is this where you are this evening? Well, do what the bride does. Follow in her footsteps. Arise and go after Christ. Don't let anyone or anything hinder you in this pursuit. And do not rest until you have laid hold of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Until you know again his comfort, his pardon, his love. Arise and go after the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone stop you. Maybe you have done that. Maybe you've been doing that. Maybe you are like the bride that has gone forth, but there's difficulty. You're not finding that presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as you would hope to. You have not found that assurance. You've not found it as it once was. And you're on the streets of the city, and you're in the broadways, and you're asking the guides, you're asking the watchmen, and the whole time you're searching, you're kicking yourself, you're saying, how could I have let this happen? Why is it not as it once was with the Lord Jesus Christ? And you're searching, and it's difficult, and you want to give up sometimes. You want to stop the search and just go back and try not to think about it, but you can't. It can be very difficult. Because of all the devices we have these days, we might not remember how it used to be when you were looking for somebody. Maybe some of us do. Do you remember the way it used to be when you were out looking for somebody? You were supposed to meet somebody. You didn't know if they were going to be there or not. I remember searching for a friend. I was supposed to meet a friend in a large city in China. And we didn't have phones. No devices. And for a time, it was difficult. It was nerve-wracking. I didn't know how to find them. I didn't know if they were going to be there. I didn't know if they had been delayed in some way. And it took hours. And so the searching can be difficult. Is that where you are this evening? You're out searching and you're getting tired of it. You're wondering if you should stop. Well, I'm telling you, it is difficult for a reason. The Lord is bringing you through it for a reason. And He has your spiritual benefit in mind. So keep searching. Keep looking. Keep going. Press on. Because it is worth it. It is worth it. Remember the outcome in the song. She finds him. She clings to him. She will not let him go. She brings him into her family home, into her mother's chamber. So press on. Christ is as an ointment poured forth. His love is better than wine. Keep that in mind as you search for Him. Keep that in mind. It may be difficult, but we have every assurance, every promise from the Word of God that there is great reward for them that diligently seek after Him. What does Christ say? We'll close with this. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. There's a progression. It's not easy. Keep at it. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. We go to the Lord in prayer and